This conference is being recorded.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome. Thank you to coming to or tuning in to AFAM Unschooled conference call. Today is Thursday, November 1st, 2007, and my name is S. Courtney Walton with African American Unschooling at www.afamunschool.com. And today I am pleased to have with us Dr. Baba Wayusijana. Good morning, Dr. Wayusijana. Are you there?
Yes. Good morning.
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
Let me tell everyone about our guest today. Just read your short bio, and then we'll go into our conversation. Dr. Wayusijana is a learning scientist researching and developing advanced technologies for informal and formal learning. His academic interests include internet educational software, informal and formal learning with multi-user virtual environments, effective teaching strategies for web-based tutoring software, distance education, computer modeling of traditional African social environments, homeschooling, metacognitive reflection, fostering learner engagement, and educational access. Dr. Wayusijana is a member of the interdisciplinary learning sciences field that draws upon multiple theoretical perspectives and research fields, chiefly cognitive science, education, computer science, and social cultural sciences, in order to understand the complexities associated with learning, cognition, context, and development. Our guest's educational background include a Bachelor of Science in Mathematics and a Bachelor of Science in Computer Science. He also has a Master's in Engineering from San Jose State University and a PhD from Northwestern University, my alma mater, in learning sciences. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Thank you so much. I think we're all excited to hear about the work that you're doing, but even more than that, we're extremely excited to hear about how you got there. And you were homeschooled as well, correct?
Correct. Yes.
Wonderful.
I guess we should start at the beginning, huh?
Yes.
Basically, my parents moved to California for school, for college. My dad's from New Jersey, and my mom's from Bogalusa, Louisiana. And they met in college out in California, and they got married, and they decided to raise their children in an African-centered environment. And they're both educators. Mom at the time was a public school teacher, and dad is an educator as well. He's now retiring from De Anza Community College as a math instructor, and they're very much about providing good education, but at the same time giving us the right cultural background, and not having us turn out much like everybody else at whatever school we happen to go to. So they decided to homeschool us for cultural reasons. I was homeschooled since birth up until I started going to college, and the same thing for my two younger brothers. Mostly it was the work of mom. She stayed at home and taught us there, and dad also taught us some things later on when it came to your more advanced mathematics at your high school, pre-college level. My father was feeding the family by selling educational software to school districts. And so he did a lot of programming on Apple IIe's, and he built a lot of educational software, and we used that as well in our learning. That really piqued my interest in educational software. Since we didn't take SATs or anything, we decided to get involved in college through community college. So I went to Foothill Community College at the age of 15, and from there, the way the community college system works in California is you take a placement test when you start, and then they decide where you start off. They have vocational classes as well as advanced classes. So, I simply started where I tested, and 3 years later, I had my associate degree in computer science and went to Dillard University in New Orleans, which is a historically black university. There I got a bachelor's in mathematics. Originally it was supposed to be math education, but it was best to switch to math. And then I went to San Jose State, Northwestern, as she said. So it's good to be here, if you have any particular questions, I'm willing to answer.
Well, maybe we'll do that right now. Participants, if you have any questions for our guest about his homeschooling experience, feel free to press *6, and that will unmute yourself. And just say your name and your city and state, and feel free to ask your question. Well, while we're waiting for someone else to come in, I think I'll jump in with one first. Through your high school years, which tend to be the years that many homeschoolers find it so challenging to keep their children, active and happy with their educational process, and often they fall off the wagon, so to speak, and put their children in high school. What were some of the things and I'm sure you had those same emotions as a teenager, but what were some of the things that your parents did to encourage you that, homeschooling was the way to go, or did you have any times when you were in your teens where you thought, I really just want to go to public high school?
Actually, I never wanted to go to public high school. Everything was working out pretty well the way it was. There wasn't any particular reason in my mind to change the plan. And I wasn't in homeschool my entire teen years. I was pretty much done and started taking community college classes when I was 15. So I wasn't really done with my 2 years before I started going to public college. And the way the flexibility that it gave us was quite amazing. I mean, we really were able to do whatever we wanted in terms of, my parents were able to do whatever they wanted in terms of shaping our the way we think and what we're exposed to and letting us really develop at our own pace. It wasn't like they weren't pushing us to do our best. They did that all the time. But, for instance, I was ahead about a year in mathematics than I was in the other subjects. And that was fine. There was no issues about that. We simply used textbooks Mom had used before or that she had found and thought were good for our needs, and we just went with that, and we didn't spend a lot of time doing it. We would just get up in the morning, have breakfast, and go to class with her individually, and we were done by lunchtime, and after lunch we would go to the local park and play and play with amongst ourselves for a couple of hours before the other kids got out of class.
Yes.
And then and we were on our own schedule. I mean, we were on an African calendar. It was a lunar calendar. I believe we would have school for 6 days and then a day off. And then every once a month, when the moon was full for about 6 days, we would have those days off as well. So that's when we would go to. I think of them as off, but really we did a lot of educational things then. That's when we would go on trips and that sort of thing, go to the Exploratorium or the Academy of Sciences in the Bay Area. So it wasn't, I didn't really have a need to go to public school. It wasn't like I didn't have access to talking to people when I wanted to. It was more of waiting for other kids to get out of school so I could talk
to
them.
So we could actually socialize.
Right, because why would I want to go there? I'll be there longer, right?
So. That's right. Well, you raised another interesting question for me that I've had, and I know some other parents have had as well. Can you share with us the demographics of the community that you were living in during those teen years, about what percentage of it was African American?
Well, actually, I was born in Oakland, but I don't remember any of it. All my memory of my childhood, up until shortly before I went to community college, was in Mountain View, where I grew up. And it was a pretty mixed income neighborhood. You know, you have people from pretty, you know, middle class backgrounds, and a certain amount of diversity racially, I would say. So there were there weren't many black people in the neighborhood, but there were a lot of people who weren't white, and it was pretty mixed all around. And then we moved to Los Altos Hills, which is closer to Foothill College. I can't remember how old I was when we moved there, but we were definitely there when I started community college, which is in the same city. And I would bike to school from there. That neighborhood was much more affluent and less diversity, mostly white people.
Were there challenges? I know there were challenges, but how did your parents overcome some of those challenges and make sure there are opportunities for positive reflections of you and interactions?
Well, they were very involved in the black community in the South Bay Area. They were involved with a lot of people who were working in East Palo Alto, where that's the only real concentration of black people in the South Bay, I would say, would be East Palo Alto at the time. And they really worked with a lot of activists there to help get the area incorporated. And there's a community center there that we would go to. So we were in touch with the black community. We would go to, you know, events and meetings and things here and there. At least something once a month. We would have something once a month with our family in the area. I had a cousin and his mom lived in our neighborhood within walking distance. So there was a lot of interaction there on a regular basis. You know, most of the time was spent playing with the kids at the park nearby after they got out of school and playing tag and stuff. But
yeah,
there were regular activities that would happen that would connect to the black community.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
My name is Marcy Clark from St. Paul, Minnesota. And I have four children, always, you know, home educated since birth. Has your mom and dad written a book?
They've written books, but I don't believe they've written books on homeschooling. Mom, later on, after we started going to college, started teaching community college herself, and I believe she's written some books on multicultural communication, and
okay.
Written books on mathematics. But and his dad's written a book on Kwanzaa celebrating as well, but nothing. They haven't written on homeschooling. We did get, I think there has been some newspaper articles on us, but nothing lately.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
That's wonderful. Are there any other, from the participants, any other questions that you have for Dr. Luisigiano on his the educational background that he's had that got him to college? Because at this point, I think we're going to go ahead and transition to his current work and let him tell us about that. But before we do that, I want to give you – yes, please go ahead.
I do have a question. I'm Tamika from Albany, New York. My question is, I know you mentioned that your mom was – I believe you mentioned that she was a teacher. And I'm curious to know, did she stay at home and homeschool you and your brother solely, or did she work outside of the home? And also, what was the main approach, if there were, to what she used with homeschooling you all? I'm looking, I guess, for advice as to how primary homeschoolers can effectively homeschool their children when you, say, work out of the home, or as in my case, I run a business from home as well as homeschooling, and I have five children. So I'm just trying to find any sense of balance and feel like you're giving them enough or giving them what you need or what they need, and, you know, just kind of eliminating that homeschooler thought. A lot of moms may have this if they're the typical primary homeschooling parent, you know, just that you're not giving your child enough, you know, or what will happen when they, you know, will they get into college, all of those worries and fears, and just any advice on that.
For the most of the time, she worked. TC did not work, particularly at the beginning. She was she stopped being a public school teacher and was just teaching us at home. Eventually, she started a business. She started a she opened a beauty shop, and she was running that business as well. But I'm trying to remember when she started that business, if we were all done with our homeschooling yet, and I don't think we were, but we were close to all being done. I may have been already done myself by the time she started the beauty shop. And eventually she also went back to teaching, but at the community college level. Definitely when we were really young, she was at home all the time with us and not working.
This is Marcy from St. Paul again.
Yes.
Can I ask you, how do you feel as an adult, having had your experience? How do you feel in retrospect?
Well, in retrospect, I'd say it turned out really great. I wouldn't have it any other way. The more I, you know, now that I'm researching advanced technologies for learning, I've learned more and more about the school system, particularly when I was working my doctorate. I hadn't been in the school system, so I didn't know a whole lot about it, which is why I went for an education doctorate, so that I wouldn't only know just how to build good software, but how people actually learn. And I've really found no reason to say things could have been better for me by being in private or public school at the time. I would say, you know, if you can homeschool, then you should do it. The real issue is what came up before. You know, do you have the right income mix to do it so that someone can take the time to do it is the issue. But most people think it takes more time than it does. So what happens in schools is kids spend a lot of time just waiting. You spend a very significant amount of your time just waiting for the next thing to happen. You know, those 10 minutes between classes, waiting your turn to speak. There's a lot of time where kids are just waiting for for the other kids there to be processed, if you will. Which is why, you know, I would be done by lunch and they wouldn't be done until 3, maybe 4. I started college at 15 and they started college at 18. So, you know, there's a lot to be said if you can do it. That I would say if a parent can do it, they should, and I don't regret it being done for us. I think it shows a lot of foresight and love for my parents of knowing really what's going on with education and, more importantly, what's going on with culture. You know, we're really a lot like our parents. And I've always been what other people considered mature for my age, but it was just what my parents expected from my perspective and what seemed reasonable behavior from my perspective. It was quite amazing. The first quarter I took at Fort Hill Community College, there was a sister taking the class with me, and some point, I think we had a break during class, and we got to talking, and I made a mistake of telling her my age, and it just blew her mind. She was totally depressed because she was a returning student. She was, I guess, in her 30s. Here I am at 15. We're starting at the same point. And So that's when I learned to not tell people your age.
There
was a lot of naivety that I had to get out of those first, I say, 5 or 6 years in college that other people didn't have, that little things I didn't know about socially. But in general, I say it really worked out well for me. And
this is Marva Brown from the Bronx, New York. And I just started homeschooling my grandson. I'm a retired high school teacher. And he is in the sixth grade, and he's been to public school.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, the socialization is what he misses. But he loves to be homeschooled, but, you know, he says, well, I don't know any new friends because he isn't going. But now he's able to socialize with his cousins. Now they go to public school,
mm-hmm.
And on the weekends and in different occasions. And then also in my co-op, it's children that go to public school, and when they come home, he plays with them. But that's the only thing that I'm wondering what could be done about that.
Well, there's two things. One, I know some homeschoolers don't like this, but some school districts like to have homeschoolers involved in some manner. That way they get to count you in their budget, and so they don't lose money because you're homeschooling, or at least they don't lose as much money. So they'll allow you to get involved in activities and sports and so on. So your kid could, like, get involved in the clubs on campus or the sports teams,
mm-hmm.
Or utilize a library and that kind of thing. So you can take advantage of some of the social aspects of school that way.
Okay.
Then you're in control of the actual teaching, if you
mm-hmm.
will.
Yeah.
That's one option. Another option is what my parents did is they created, along with other parents in the Stanford University area, an organization of parents, of black parents. They got a bunch of different parents together. Actually, it started off as the mothers got together. They called it Mbari, which is Swahili for family. And they would meet every
All right, thanks.
Just discuss. They would discuss the different issues of trying to raise kids. We were all kids of different ages. Mostly, all the kids were babies, and they were all. And so, when they met, we were along with them, so we became friends. So we would play in one room, and then adults would talk in another room. The mothers decided to bring in the fathers into the discussion, and so they would meet every month, and we would see them every month. And a lot of those kids are my dearest childhood friends, and I'm still in touch with some of them. Some of them were, part of my wedding party and that kind of thing. So it's sometimes you have to get out there and create your own structure, if you will, and kids to see people.
Thank you.
Please mute your phone. You can put *6. Thank you. And then when you want to ask a question, go ahead, *6 again. All right. Dr. Wasey, Jonna, would you like to tell us about your research?
Sure. In general, I'm researching advanced technologies for learning. And one thing I'm doing in particular in regards to homeschooling is I'm trying to really understand more about how people who are homeschooling use software and what their needs are, and particularly what their unmet needs are, so that I and other people doing research and design of educational technology can better design things that were just more appropriate, or reorganize how they're doing things with their websites and so on. So when I talk about software, I also mean websites. So what I decided to do was put together a study of my own, which is a survey study, to try to get information about how homeschoolers use software, and what software they use, how often, that kind of thing. It's a web-based survey, And I'm hoping that people in your organization are willing to get online and fill it out.
How long will it take for us to complete the survey?
The survey is about, it depends. We just recently made it shorter, so I'm not really sure. I'm telling people it's about 25 to 55 minutes because we had some people fill it out online, and we were like, no, that's too long, and so we made it even shorter than we had it before. So I would say it's about 25 to 55 minutes time, depending on what you do. Almost every question is completely optional or has something where you can click on that says, I'm not going to answer the question. So, you know, if you answer one question, you get done in 5 minutes. But if you answer every question quickly, it'll probably take about half an hour, maybe 40 minutes. It depends. Some of the questions ask you to type in information, and you know it's up to you how much time you want to spend typing in information. Most of the questions, though, are multiple choice, and you just click. And
how long will the survey be online? How much time do we have to get there and complete it before the survey is closed?
Well, I'm hoping to get people in your organization to complete it by January. There isn't any currently. There's no plan to take it down anytime soon. But I would prefer people fill it out before January. Right now, I'm a research associate at the University of Washington, and that's where the study is being done. But I'm only going to be here through August of next year, and I'll need time to actually analyze this. The data and write reports and papers about it so that people can actually get around to designing better software for homeschoolers.
That would be great.
I need time to do all that analysis, so that's why we'll put the survey by.
Well, you can count me in.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yes, Marva. Yes.
We'll have information. I'll send out information to everyone on our mailing list so they can go to the survey and complete it online. But can you just give us, for those who are on the call, can you give us a web address in case some of them might be online right now and they want to open up a browser and begin that survey?
Sure. You know, if you go to Google, if you type in homeschool space software space survey, the first couple links will lead you to it. But the URL is... faculty, that's FACULTY, dot Washington, WASHINGTON, dot EDU, /BABAW, that's Baba W, /H, S and Sam W. But again, if you go to Google and just type in homeschool space software space survey, the first couple of links right now will lead you to the survey, and there's some information about the survey before you even get into the survey, so you have an idea of what you're signing up for. And basically, I want to know what's going on out there with folks. What kind of software they're using? What kind of students do they have? You know, ages, genders, what topics they're teaching. Why did they choose a homeschool? What were the software that they really found extremely useful, and what was the software they really hated? You know, what was that piece of software or website that you thought would be great, and you selected for your children, and the whole thing bombed? I want to know that as well, so I can go to those sites and see, okay, what are the things that work, what are the things that don't work. And there is some interest out there. A lot of people are realizing that more and more people are homeschooling. There's research now that more and more African Americans are homeschooling, and people are seeing it as a group they now need to pay attention to. I've even talked with people at museums, since we also look at informal learning. We look at formal learning in schools. We also look at informal learning, which would be like going to a museum, for instance. And the reason why my research group really likes the surveys work that I'm doing is because homeschooling is a real mixture between formal and informal education. And I've talked to some museums, and they have websites that have educational material on them, and they realized eventually that there were a lot of people who go to the website but never go to the museum, and then they figured out that, oh, these are homeschoolers using this. And they were like, wow, this is a whole new group we never thought about, and how do we organize our website around that? How do we help people who are homeschoolers who may not be close enough even to drive to our museum? How do we teach people through our website? So people want the information. They want to know what they can do to help homeschoolers. This is a growing trend that I think is really the future for a lot of people. Certainly, a lot of people may not do it the entire time for their childhood, but I think a lot of people are going to do it for part of the time, particularly with all these online services that are there now that didn't exist when my parents were teaching me. There's a lot more things on the web for free, but a lot of it is, well, pretty bad. And I don't want to design any more of the bad stuff, and I don't want anyone else to either.
That's good.
I'll give people advice with a lot of scientific backing on what are the right things to do for people and what are the right things to do for which kinds of people in terms of demographics. So I do ask for demographic information as well. So I would appreciate if you would fill that out. And people who fill out the survey, if you do leave your email address and check the box that says you want it, I will send you the aggregated results of the survey so that you can see the results as well.
Thank you, Dr. Wasey Jana. That was wonderful. Thank you for being our guest today and sharing with us about your own homeschool experience as well as the work that you're doing. This broadcast is going to be available from the website, so people who are not able to call in and be on the actual conference call will be able to hear this information, and we'll also have the link there to the survey. And I'll just say it again one more time for people who are listening right now, if you want to open another browser, it's faculty.washington.edu/BABAW/HSSW. And
actually,
again,
that's just one H. It's HSSW at the end.
Oh, thank you. HSSW. Thank you. So this is S. Courtney Walton, and we're going to conclude our recorded portion of today's AFM Unschooled conference call. Participants, please stay on the line for additional questions or comments for our guests. But for everyone else, you missed it, but we'll be here next week if you want to tune in and catch the next conference call. So for now, we're going to say thank you for calling, and we look forward to catching up with you next week.
Thank you.